Ask the Mayor Public Affairs program every Sunday at 7 o'clock and then online at WHLC.com. Another 4 years, we talked about that the week before, and 200-plus more shows. And we've had We'll have over like 700 shows together.
There you go, Steve.
The last day of the Highlands Food and Wine Festival, it's always a great celebration. This is their 10th year. And today, a shot at redemption. We all want that. And then with the Blind Boys of Alabama, 11 o'clock to 1:30. What another great presentation.
And we have a lot of activities now going into Thanksgiving and all the way into Christmas. And Food and Wine Festival is one of those events that kicks off fall-winter season here in Highlands.
I had my media pass, and I had to pace myself once again. All right, the Board of Adjustment meeting, 5:30. To midnight.
Almost midnight, yes. That's what I heard.
SDRs and the new hotel with 73 rooms.
It has over 90 parking spaces. I know some people on what's happening in Highlands was talking about it's going to add to the parking congestion. The ordinance says that a hotel has to provide parking, so it should not really impact the parking situation that much here in the Highlands downtown area. I do not attend the Board of Adjustment meetings. I'm not directing them. I don't talk to the members of the Board of Adjustment because they are a quasi-judicial body, kind of a jury, if you will, that has to make an independent decision as to whether a proposed project meets all of the zoning ordinance requirements that we have in town. With that said, with the hotel, people don't realize, but of course we had our town attorneys representing the Zoning Board of Adjustment. And then the people that were petitioning for approval of the project, they had their attorneys. And then they brought in five expert witnesses that had to provide testimony. And with that testimony, there's a cross-examination and questions from the Zoning Board of Adjustment. So, Steve, that's why a meeting like that can go a long time after you go through all the steps and the processes. The final vote was 4-1 to approve the new hotel at the old Bank of America building.
Maybe January. It'll take about 18 months and talk about building in the mountain.
I was talking to the town staff before we came out, and I said, well, when will this start and how long will it take? And they were saying probably around the new year you'll see action on the site. Of course, that old Bank of America building will have to first be demolished, and then they'll start a construction phase. And the people that are building the hotel estimate about 18 months. Now, I kind of laugh at that, Steve, because when people come in with construction companies, they tend to project, well, we'll do this like we do in other areas on a fairly short schedule. Anytime I hear a projected schedule about construction in Highlands, I say, plus 6 months to a year, because there are always surprises in this mountainous terrain when you start doing construction. So we'll see. It goes from here. That's the plan that the people that requested permission to build a hotel has set for themselves.
And what else was talked about, the status of the short-term rental on Satula? Anything you can share about that that was covered?
Well, I know our zoning director had ruled that they were in compliance, had grandfathered status. At that meeting, it's my understanding that some of the board members looked at the rental use of that in the last 12 months and noticed that there'd been no renting of that property for short-term rentals. On the other hand, they'd been advertising to rent it, and there was a discussion about the intent. Had they decided not to continue, or by the fact that they were advertising, they intended to rent it during that period? The Zoning Board of Adjustment ruled that their grandfather status was no longer in effect, and they could not operate as a short-term rental. We'll go from there.
Town board meeting, here we go, November 20th, and it'll also include a closed meeting and the workshop. There's really no topic that has you come up with yet on that 6 o'clock meeting.
This is all tentative, Steve, at the time of this recording on Thursday. The plan is to go into closed session at 5:30 with the update of the Huff lawsuit. After that, we have a scheduled workshop. We still have a couple of meetings I'll just say that it centers around how we will be funding the infrastructure downtown and meeting some of these challenges. That will be the topic, and we'll have more specific information as that agenda goes out. And then we'll have a regular board meeting at 7 o'clock. We will be broadcasting both of those meetings, and people can access that by going on YouTube channel on the town website. Let me bring up one thing that occurred with the Zoning Board of Adjustment. Some people were contacting us wanting to see if there was a YouTube link to the Zoning Board of Adjustment. That was not the case. We don't have that on our link. Some people were wanting to be able to provide information remotely by way of Zoom to the Planning Board. Citizens comment. That too is not permitted at the Zoning Board of Adjustment. We're not allowed to have remote meetings of the town board, nor can a town board meeting join the meeting remotely to vote. There was an exception to that. During COVID, the state waived those rules, so you could have remote meetings. But now we're back into the normal operations, and we cannot allow an elected official to come in remotely and provide input. Now, we sometimes have commissioners who are out of town, and just like any other citizen, they can access the meeting remotely, but they just cannot send in their input or send in a vote.
Understandable. Also understandable that bears are out there, and there are complaints about some bears. Just don't feed the bears. That's one thing, and then call the police.
This is an active time for the bears, and you know, we are a bear-wise community. We've taken steps like requiring the bear-resistant toters. If you are having trouble with bears, please call the police. I know Officer McCall is our bear-wise officer and can advise you on how to deal with the bears. Steve, that is one thing that concerns me. And we have an ordinance prohibiting people from consciously feeding the bears. If you know that someone's providing food for bears, so they'll come into a neighborhood or yard, that needs to be addressed as an ordinance violation. I'll just leave it at that. We are having bears that are becoming very active right now before the winter months. If we have aggressive bears, we contact wildlife resources. They are the experts on how to deal and address with an aggressive bear. The main thing is we can't have people putting food out so they'll have the entertainment of seeing a bear come into the yard. That is not good for the people in the community and neighborhoods, and it certainly isn't good for the bears, because that bear gets in a habit of doing that and knowing where to come to get the food, and then they become more and more bold and, in some cases, aggressive. So feeding wildlife, like the deer that are here, you're not really doing them a favor when you do that. You're really putting them in jeopardy. Wildlife are supposed to be living in the wild, eating wild food, and that's really what's healthy for them and best for them, to be self-sufficient, not depending on us giving them human food.
We brought up the topic about the ice skating rink and what the status is, and we're just waiting for, you know, some cold temperatures, and you shared a story about Lester Norris. He's a little concerned.
Director Lester Norris has to get all of the ice skating gear and equipment out of storage and put it at the ice skating rink on the plaza. It's quite an effort with him and his staff. But this week he was in the town hall talking about one of their biggest problems of getting the ice made is that it's during the kind of the fall season, and they'll have wind that will go blow leaves into the ice skating rink where they have all the lines full of glycol ready to put water in there, and they have to go and get all the leaves out. He says it's just a situation where they're cleaning it out, hoping there'll be no more leaves blown by the wind, and if there's the right opportunity, then they will put in the water and turn on the compressors and make ice. Oh, I never thought about that. He says that's a real timing thing and a real challenge to have just the right moment to start making the ice. This cold weather will be very helpful in making good, smooth ice.
And talking about timing with that snow, and also there was no school on Veterans Day, but there was no veteran ceremony because of the snow and the cold and the freezing conditions.
I always look forward to going to the Veterans Brick Park, where we have the names of veterans that served on that walkway with the brick. I got up about 7 o'clock, opened the window, and realized we'd had snow. I didn't think we were going to really get any snow, but we had a layer of snow, about an inch maybe. Shortly after I was aware of it, Josh Ward, our town manager, texted me and said, well, our crews had already been out early in the morning after 12 o'clock. They were out working the roads, putting down ice, and it kind of hit me. I'm sure people think that the mayor is sitting there observing and calling and saying, okay, boys, get out and start working the roads. That's not the way it works. Our road crews know what to do and when to do it, and they monitor a situation like that, and they make the call, get out on the roads and start doing all the work that needs to be done. They know what to do in these types of situation. But Tom Neal and the hospital has been having a free lunch on Veterans Day. So we all went out to the hospital. There was a good turnout of veterans and people, and Tom's staff was there. We just had our program after lunch, and that turned out to really be nice. And I appreciate the hospital doing that. Tom's a veteran too, so it was just a great event to go out to the hospital. And we did have a commemoration at that time.
Well, you're talking about the crews and knowing what to do for the snow and putting down the chat and the salt and everything else, but we had to suspend collecting garbage. We know what to do.
Maybe some of our newer residents don't understand why we suspend garbage when we do and what happens after that. Our concern is when we have snow and ice on the roads, of course, we're concerned about our crews. One of the most hazardous operations that we have in town is garbage collection, because they're making so many stops every day doing all of that lifting, moving the garbage to the trucks, and we have accidents. And if a crew member is injured, that means we're working short. We don't have a large garbage crew. So we decided to suspend garbage pickup that day. And also, we worry about these $250,000 garbage trucks. If one of those hit ice and go into the ditch and are damaged, it's not like we just go and fix it. Usually, that kind of damage, we have to send the truck to some specialty place to have it fixed with the garbage lifting equipment, and it might be out for a week. We err on the side of caution, and we just stop running the garbage. The next day, when conditions permit, the crews double up on their routes and make up the missed day. So that's important. If you have your garbage in a bear-resistant container, it's secure. So during these times when we can't run, more than likely, as it was on Veterans Day, it doesn't get above freeze. So your garbage is probably frozen. It's not going to smell. It's not going to go anywhere. When we can get to it, we'll go and provide the garbage service. So that's kind of the way that system works.
Next week, we'll be talking about getting ready for Thanksgiving. So here come the holidays, and the Highlands is just beautiful.
That's right. I really look forward to it, Steve.